You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Yo, 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 youthful yins yearning, yodeling, and yowling for yaks and yippies. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 217, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your persona grata at the regatta of medullum oblongata errata, who oughta bada a lot of frittata and porchata.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Yay!
That was a good one, Karen. That was so good. A
lot of being in the rhyme zone rhyming dictionary. I don't know if you guys ever used that before.
No, yeah, for sure. It shows.
All right. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your barn, yard, buzzers. Here we go. Blue Edge for geography. Which bird features on Ecuador's flag?
Oh, which bird features
lots of birds on flags? Yeah. Lots Ecuador's of flag birds.
Ecuador.
Which bird is it? Colin?
I have a guess, and I hope this sounds like a reasonable, educated, nerdy guess. I'm going to guess the finch, maybe like a Darwin's finch, like because the Galapagos are near Ecuador.
Nope, not finches. The answer is condor.
Ecuador,
condor.
Yeah.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. Which late night talk show host was voted most likely to replace David Letterman in his school days?
Oh,
interesting.
I have heard this.
Chris.
Conan O'Brien?
Incorrect. Colin.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Fallon?
It is Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
Pick your Jimmy.
The late night Jimmies. I got the late night Jimmies. All right. Yellow Wedge, which of these household appliances was invented first? Dishwasher, electric vacuum cleaner, or microwave oven?
Oh my gosh. Oh.
I feel like the vacuum cleaner seems fundamentally simpler. You really just need a powerful enough fan.
I feel like the dishwasher might be the simplest of all of these.
Oh,
you think it's just a thing that shoots water and it swirls around?
Hand crank dishwasher.
Yeah, hand crank dishwasher, yeah. Sure.
What is it?
The answer is dishwasher. You guys are correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good logic.
Does it give years for them respectively?
Only for dishwasher. 1886 by Josephine Cochran.
No.
Lady.
All right.
Good job.
She was sick of doing dishes. Thanks,
motivated to figure it out. Yeah.
Purple Wedge. Which magazine shares its name with the novel by William Thackeray?
Oh.
Interesting.
I know also.
But Colin buzz first. Colin?
Yeah.
My guess is it a Town and Country?
Incorrect. Huh. Chris?
Vanity Fair.
Of course.
Correct. Vanity Fair. Green Wedge for Science and Nature. Which famous astrophysicist warned that, quote, full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race? Chris.
Stephen Hawking.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which famous astrophysicist?
Yeah.
It's almost an oxymoron.
Last question, Orange Wedge. Professional football and soccer both field the same number of players. True or false? Colin, you know.
Colin, save us.
I think that's true. 11 for both.
You are correct. Best kind of correct. 11 players in both sports. Congratulations. Okay. Oh, good job, guys. That was a good card. And I have a Patreon listener fan fact. This is Kellen from Chicago, and she wanted to share this cool fact with us because it has to do with poop. And of course, we always talk about poop on the show. So yes, this is what we call native content. Yes. So she says, bees do poop. If it eats, it excretes.
Right.
But they do not poop in their hives. They're incredibly hygienic and will take all of their business outside. But obviously, during the winter, what do? They literally have to hold it and wait for a day that warms up just a little bit.
Oh no.
They will all fly out. It is
en masse.
It's been reported that thousands of bees will fly out of the hive at once for a mass poop flight known as a cleansing flight.
Oh, yeah.
that sounds okay. Much more elegant.
Yeah.
That sounds like a series of small smoothies that you get at a spa versus a whole bunch of insects just taking a dump at
once. Cleansing flight.
Cleansing flight, right.
Yep.
I wonder what happens if it doesn't get warm enough in time.
Yeah, what does happen?
Huh. You just got to cut your losses at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I may draw a broad analogy to my own experience. When I'm camping often, you know, night, it's the middle of the night. You're often in places where it's, you know, in the 30s, maybe 40s, you know, it's chilly out there and you really got to go pee. And sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm going to wait and see if I fall asleep in 5 minutes. And if I don't fall asleep, then I'll decide again. And it's like, I don't want to go out in the tent and go pee, but you can't hold it all night. And yeah, and I just, but the other part is, you know, it's just going to get colder as the night goes on. And so at a certain point.
Well, you know, if you stay in place, it'll be warm for a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
I remember we learned this from Dana from a long time ago in an episode. It's like, if you're out camping, in order to stay warm overnight, you really should pee before going to sleep.
Yeah,
because then your body's gonna waste all this energy keeping the pee
your
body temperature. So you don't want that extra thing that your body's trying to warm up. Right, so just go pee.
Get it out.
Yeah.
It won't get better the longer you wait.
It doesn't.
For some reason,
yeah, I always think, well, maybe this time, but no.
For today's episode, we're going to be scratching the trivia post and we're going to be venturing into the trivia filled litter box because this week it's the cat's meow.
Well, well, folks, they said it would never happen, but back in, let me check iTunes here just to be sure, back in 2013, we had an episode called The Truth About Cats and Dogs, and in that episode, I had a quiz that was all about fictional cats.
Wow, that's long.
Cats in fiction. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. And at the end of that quiz, Dana said, oh, I thought such and such a cat was going to be in it. And Colin said, you know what, Dana? He's got to save something for the sequel. And I know you've all been waiting for it. So that's right. Buckle up. The long-awaited fictional cat quiz part 2.
Straightforward title.
Yep. So in the first one, every single question was I would describe a fictional cat from comics, cartoons, literature, poetry, and you would tell me the name of the cat. That is most of these questions, but just to mix things up a little bit, there's some other things here and there as well that are all related to fictional cats, but the answer might not always be the name of a fictional cat. Here we go. It's going to be a buzzer quiz. I want you to buzz in. Fictional cat quiz, part 2, 8 years later. Here's the sequel.
Ooh, can we meow in instead of buzzing? Can we meow in?
So that is precisely what you guys did last time. I don't know if you remember
really?
That. And it was a real mess. But so you should definitely do it again. Definitely do it again.
I don't remember this.
We had deja vu, the same thing. I mean, I didn't remember until I went back and listened to it.
Totally don't remember those.
Karen was like, oh, should we meow in instead of buzz in?
No.
Not much has changed.
I love that you're consistent, Karen. Yeah, I love that your brain. Yep,
that's me.
You are.
So there you go. Okay. Yes, I want you all to meow in with your distinct meow. Folks, there's listeners out there who have listened to these episodes like 5-6 times, so they all know how bad it got. You guys all forgot how bad it got, so we're doing it all again. The meowing All singing, all dancing, all meowing, fictional cat quiz.
Okay.
Gonna be a real banger. Here we go.
So are we gonna be out or are we?
Yeah. Oh okay. Yeah. I think we have to at this point.
Karen has signed you up for it. Yes. So here we go.
Okay.
I can't believe it.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. Question one. This 19th century literary character utters the famous line, "We're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad."
Meow, 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 meow.
I'd say that's everybody, but I think Karen meowed first.
That is the Cheshire Cat.
That is the Cheshire Cat from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Do we know what Cheshire is?
Is that a place?
Is that it?
I want to say a place. Yeah, but I don't know if that's why the cat is called that. Okay, question number two. This 19th century literary character has a name that roughly translates to leader of the tigers.
19th century literary
character. Is it meow, 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 meow?
Yeah, thank you.
Is that Shere Khan?
That's Shere Khan from the Jungle Book. Yeah. Yes. Yep, yep, yep.
A big cat. That's right.
Please phrase your question in the form of a meow.
Yes. I will not, unless somebody's meowing, I will not recognize. The chair does not recognize. Okay, question number three. This 19th century literary character from Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights is not a cat.
Oh.
But he does share his distinctive mononym with a famous cartoon cat.
Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, meow,
Dana.
Meow.
Heathcliff.
Heathcliff.
Yeah. Oh.
Heathcliff.
Yes.
Yeah. Both Heathcliff, the character from Wuthering Heights, and Heathcliff the cat are mononymous. They go by a single name, like Cher or Adele. And in fact, Heathcliff was the cat that Dana was anticipating would be in quiz number one, but did not show up. And so just for you, Dana, we have a series of Heathcliff-related questions. Could you...
You know, when you said that I asked for a cat that didn't appear, I was like, it was probably Heathcliff. That's what I thought.
If you remember the Heathcliff TV show, which Dana does, you know that it featured stories about Heathcliff as well as another group of cats who were named Riff Raff, Cleo, Mungo, Hector, and Wordsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What group name was that group of cats known?
That's right. Oh, man. I had just, until you said those names.
Sheldon the Egg.
No, that wasn't. That was Garfield. Oops, sorry.
Though similarly, Garfield also had U.S. Acres, which was another comic strip by Jim Davis. They were the B plot of Garfield and Friends. Heathcliff did the same thing. So half the episode was about Heathcliff.
Yeah.
The other half was about another group of cats. They all worked in, I think, a junkyard. Riff Raff, Cleo, Mungo, Hector, and Wordsworth. What was their name?
Dana. Were they the Alley Cats?
You're close. You're closing in on it. There's actually two names for this group. The primary one is the Cadillac Cats.
Yes!
Cars.
I did not remember that.
They're sometimes referred to as Cats and Company as well.
Terrorize your neighborhood.
That's
Heathcliff it. Cliff just won't come. I was like trying to sing the whole song to get to what they were called.
If you, they, I think Cats and Company is in the extended version in the, you know, the,
director's cut.
Not the single, but the album cut. Yeah. So the Heathcliff show ended its run in 1988. And Heathcliff was the final original character that was given a voice by this legendary cartoon voiceover artist before his death in 1989.
Oh. Meow, 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 meow.
That was a lot of people. So I'll go with Karen on this one. That's okay.
Mel Blanc?
Yes. Mel Blanc. Wow. Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc.
Yep.
Mel Blanc.
Yep. His name was originally spelled Blank, and he changed it like with a K, and then he changed it to the C. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently... A teacher once told him that that was all he was going to amount to was a big blank. And he then he changed his name. Or I don't know if the two were connected, but yes.
Different times.
Yes. Also, as I was researching this, I found out that his gravestone actually says, "That's all, folks."
Wow. Which,
brilliant.
Of course it does.
That's fantastic. A plus.
I mean, if you can have your catchphrase work as an epitaph.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, beginning in 1945, Mel Blanc, who, again, had a very long career, beginning in 45, he began voicing another cat character, of whom he has said that when he was recording this character's lines, his scripts would get so covered with saliva that he would have to repeatedly wipe them clean.
Meow, meow, meow.
Okay, as everybody, I'll go with Colin on this one.
I think we all got it, but that has to be Sylvester.
That is Sylvester. Yeah. Sylvester.
Yep. Suffering succotash.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Blank has said that that Sylvester's voice was actually closest to his own voice, just with a big old spray of saliva at the end of it. Yeah. And sticking with Mel Blanc, so prior to that, starting in 1937, Blanc lent his voice to another cartoon cat with an alliterative name. Now, this one had been created decades earlier in newspaper cartoons and often palled around with Ignatz Mouse. What was the cartoon cat?
Meow, 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 meow.
That sounded like Colin?
Is this Crazy Cat with two Ks?
It is Crazy Cat with two Ks.
Okay,
yep.
All right.
So that was 1937, where Mel Blanc first voiced Crazy Cat, who had been around for decades. 2 years later, in 1939, in what 1939 book of poetry did we meet cats such as Old Deuteronomy and Skimbleshanks?
Meow.
Heron.
Isn't it just called Cats?
It is not just called Cats.
It's in the punch bowl. I'm trying to think. I looked at the Wikipedia. I knew T.S. Eliot wrote this.
Yeah. Somebody's book of something cats, right?
Exactly. It's somebody's book of something cats. The name of the book is Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats.
Oh my God.
That's the name of the book.
Okay.
Now, of course, in 1981, this book served as the source material for a musical all about cats, which was called
Cats.
Yeah. Getting a little not even a little off track here, because we're still talking about fictional cats. But on Thursday, June 19, 1997, Cats marked its 6,138th performance on Broadway, which officially made it on that day the longest running show on Broadway. Anybody who grew up in the New England area in the 1980s remembers like the TV commercials for like Cats at the Winter Garden Theater.
Yes, Winter Garden.
Yep. Yep. On January 9, 2006, Cats's longest run was surpassed by what show?
Oh, man. Meow, meow, meow.
Colin.
Is it Phantom of the Opera?
It is Phantom of the Opera. Okay. And it is still running. The Phantom of the Opera has been playing at the Majestic Theater on Broadway continuously since it opened in January 1988. It has had over 13,000 performances. If it ever shuts down, I mean, it eventually will shut down. It is going to take a really long time before anything passes it. Again, Cats had 6,000. There's other shows with hovering in the 9,000 area, but like with 13,000 performances, it's crazy.
It's a classic.
Okay, so a couple of years after Phantom opened, February 10, 1990. On that date, a song sung in part by this cartoon cat went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and it stayed there for 3 weeks. What is the name of the cartoon cat?
Meow, meow, meow.
Dana.
So this is DJ Cool Cat?
You are... No, I can't give it to you,
Dana. Meow, meow.
Karen?
Is it MC Scat Cat?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It is MC Scat Cat.
Two Steps Back, Paula Abdul's song.
Just like Crazy Cat, those are both K's in the scat and the cat.
Sure, sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yes, MC Scat Cat from Paula Abdul's song, Opposites Attract. 3 weeks at number one. I don't know if it was the first time a cartoon cat hit the top on the Billboard Hot 100, but I can't think of another one.
Opposite of Paula Abdul is a cartoon cat. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
As a grown up.
They're pretty opposite, and he smokes too.
Yeah.
Okay, so just two more questions here. On August 31st, 1993, in the fiction, Hermione Granger purchased this cat at Magical Menagerie.
Meow.
Karen.
Crookshanks.
It's Crookshanks. Yeah. Technically, Crookshanks was half Neasel, which is a cat-like mystical creature.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Right, yes. Yeah.
But
yeah,
still
yeah.
fictional. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Still fictional, still technically counts, yes. also, Harry Potter fans are so crazy that they were able to figure out literally the exact date and year in the fiction that Hermione bought this cat.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep. And I applaud this. Okay. Finally, this cinematic cat, say live cinematic cat, live action, was portrayed on screen in 1997 by a hairless sphinx cat whose name was Ted Nugent.
I'm sorry. Can you read that again? I'm sorry.
I will.
There's a lot going on there.
This cinematic cat, so I'm looking for the name of the character, okay. in the film, was portrayed on screen in 1997 by a hairless sphinx cat named Ted Nugent.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow.
Karen meowed the loudest.
And this is America. She did. That's how it works. She wants it more. She wants it more.
Mr. Bigglesworth?
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Bigglesworth yes. in Austin Powers. Yes. Apparently, Ted Nugent was actually very nice. And he loved Mike Myers so much that he would just get super relaxed on set and just fall asleep on his lap. Which was not professional at all. And in fact, cost a lot of money in delayed shots. But they brought him back for all the sequels. So yeah.
Ooh.
All right. Good job, everybody, on all the fictional cats and the meowing. Really good. I think this time I'll want listeners to go back and listen to the meows from 8 years ago and the meows today. You know, maybe our voices are not as fresh and springy as they were for meowing 8 years ago. But, you know, perhaps today they're just lent a certain gravitas due to the weight of the world being on us.
Yeah. We all have children now.
Yeah.
So we're maybe very like...
Rum-tum-tigger. Yeah. We're like old Deuteronomy.
Right, yeah. Right. That's rum-tum... It's rum-tum-tugger, by the way. You're mixing... You're confusing it with Christopher
You're combining.
Robin's friend.
You're conflating.
You're mixing yeah. your cats. We don't want to do that on this show.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the next quiz, which I'll combine the names of two cats... and you have to figure out extract one cat from the other cat.
The cat where we're gene splicing fictional cats.
All right. Yeah. So in 8 years, we can expect that quiz.
Yeah, I'm going to be ready next time.
2029.
Okay.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So growing up, there was this one semi-fancy restaurant that my parents would take us to as kids. It's like one of those things where I still remember the interior. I still remember like the plate design. It's just one of those things like growing up in my memory, it's like kind of stuck in there. One time we were there, a dish came out, Chinese restaurant, family style. And my dad leaned over and he goes, "Oh, here, eat this. It's cat ears." And took a scoop of cat ears and put it in my bowl. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, literally, like he said, cat ears. And I'm looking at it and it looks like cat ears. And I was like, okay, well, is he pulling my leg? Like, well, that doesn't seem really efficient. Like, what do they do with the rest of the cat? If it's just, I mean, but then again, like we eat pig ears. That's a delicacy. But then pig ears are bigger. These are like little cat ears. And then finally, as it turns out, it is really actually not real cat ears. It's noodles. It's a type of pasta. It's a lot like orchietta. Does really look like cat ears. But for a small moment there, I believed him.
Such a dad thing to do. Such a dad thing to do.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
There's a mushroom, and my dad was said that they were monkey ears. They're like the black mushroom.
Oh, yeah, wood ears.
Oh, like the wood ear mushrooms. Yeah, yeah.
He said, oh, these are some monkey ears. And he's like, they're delicious. And he ate one. And I was like, oh.
There's so many like deceptively named foods out there in Chinese cuisine. The gooey duck or the geoduck.
Yeah.
It's a big clam, right? A big clam with a weird phallic, like
a very long extension.
In Chinese, it's called elephant trunk.
Oh.
And so when you don't see the clamshell and you just see the elongation thing, you're like, oh, is it?
Looks like an elephant trunk.
That's interesting. Mm.
And then there's also like what we know as sweet bread, which is the biggest lie of all. It's not bread, nor is it sweet. It's like organs. So inspired by this, I actually have done some fun research here. And I have a list of food from around the world deceptively named after feline animal body parts.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. So like cat ears. I'm going to be introducing you to them one by one. And I was hoping for the ones that you've never heard of, you could venture a guess. I want to kind of see where your imagination goes.
All right.
And these are actual food items. So if you don't know, try to reason and try to think what it could be. Okay. So we're going to take our first stop, Canada. In Canada, they have something called the tiger tail.
Ooh.
What do you think tiger tail is?
The tiger tail. Sounds all right. Like so it's got to be something striped. Yep. Right. Right.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I mean, I should know this. I think it's a donut.
Oh, okay.
Tiger tail.
Like a pastry. I like that. Like an eclair like or something.
Something sweet.
Okay. You guys are close. Tiger tail is actually a flavor. Most famously, it's tiger tail in the form of ice cream. It is orange ice cream with a swirl of black licorice.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Dang.
Everybody's making a face. You can't see it.
Okay, I haven't tried it. I'll save my judgment, I guess. All right, I've never seen that.
I was hoping it'd be orange and chocolate.
Supposedly very delicious.
To people who like licorice.
And some say that the orange, like the strong orange flavor, is very refreshing in contrast with licorice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is a Canadian thing. You cannot find it outside of Canada. Okay. And also it sparks like other tiger tail flavored things.
Got it. A lot like a pumpkin spice or something. You might just see it.
Yes. Like they have Twizzlers, you know, that's like tiger tail.
I don't know what
it's funny. Next stop, we're going to France and we're going to be eating cat tongue.
Cat tongue.
For the people who don't know, take a guess. What do you think a cat tongue is?
Is it a pastry?
Warm.
I was going to guess like
maybe I've seen this on the baking show.
Like a little toasted bread or a little toast point or something like that, maybe.
Oh, that's because it's like kind of raspy.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like a meringue or something.
It is a cookie. If you think of the Pepperidge Farm Milano, type of cookie that's not sandwiched, the cookie by itself is a cat tongue.
I can see
it.
Exists
in many cultures. Langue de chat is the French term. There's also a Dutch term, a Spanish term. It's an old kind of butter cookie, a long round shape. All right, cat tongues. We got cat ears. What about a lion head?
A lion head.
Where's this from?
This is from China.
Oh, is this cabbage, I think. Oh, no, it's not. It's a meatball.
Yes, it is. It's huge. Okay. Usually it's cooked with cabbage, and the cabbage is supposed to be like the main.
Okay. That's cute.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we're going to Spain, and we're going to be drinking panther milk.
Panther milk. I'm going to guess. Go ahead. I'll take a hint.
Whenever people use the term panther to describe like consumer goods, it's always really intense.
Yeah.
Almost borderline illegal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was going to say some sort of like spiked beverage, like something, you know, like maybe with some alcohol in it, but maybe it's dairy based.
You are 100% correct. Uh-huh. Panther milk from Spain is condensed milk with gin.
Oh, that
sounds good. That sounds like a nice evening. I don't know.
I tell you what, I'm going to be trying some panther milk later on today because I have the required ingredients in my kitchen.
a Barcelona treat. And you know what, Colin, you're completely right. Those are two ingredients that many people have on hand, especially if you're in the military. So originated in the 1920s in Spain among the Spanish Foreign Legion. Okay, the story goes, the founder of the Legion asked a famous bartender at the Ritz Hotel in Madrid for a drink recipe that was easy to make, could be served in any situation, anywhere for his soldiers. So obviously canned condensed milk is like high shelf life. It's sweet and mixed with whatever clear alcohol is lying around. So some historians think that originated from injured soldiers who wanted some quick relief, and what they had was medical grade alcohol, and so they put some condensed milk to make it, you know, a little bit more palatable for a
that fits the name better, I'll say. Like, it's gonna rough you up.
Industrial medical.
Nowadays it's commonly with gin, condensed milk with gin, and maybe like some spices or maybe some other additions like grenadine syrup, but it is a milky drink.
I like it.
So we started with Tiger Tail and we're gonna end with the Tiger Nut. What do you think Tiger Nut is? Our last one. Tiger Nut may sound familiar.
I mean, I thought it was a nut. I've had, I think, things with like Tiger Nut flour in them before, but so it's not a nut, is what you're saying?
Well, it's not a tiger testicle.
I mean, like, it's like a cashew or a peanut or not nuts. A
botanical.
It's not a botanical nut. It is a tuber.
Oh.
It's a small, round, kind of like a little sweet potato. It made its way from North Africa to Spain. And actually the proto horchata, like the drink that horchata is based off of, is made from tiger nuts, like ground up tiger nut milk.
Interesting.
Currently, there is a giant health food craze for tiger nuts. If you go to Whole Foods or a supermarket, you're going to see tiger nut milk as an alternative to dairy. There's tiger nut flour. It's super high in fiber, has antioxidants. However, it is a very invasive species of weeds. So there you go. From Tiger Tail down to Tiger Nut. We got it all.
Well, you know the expression, from soup to nuts. We've got from tail to nuts.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope. Never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
You're listening to Good Job Brain. Smooth puzzles. Smart trivia. Good Job Brain.
And this week we're feline fine. All right, it's our feline cat show. And of course, one of us is, I would say, our own cat expert, Colin. Mm.
Guilty as charged. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I've had 11 cats by my count over the course of my life. They've all been great. I wanted to put together a segment for you guys, kind of just celebrating what I consider the everyday superpowers of cats. Karen, you're the dog person. I'm the cat person. That's cool. That's all right.
It's not that I don't want cats. I don't think I've ever had cats. But if I did have cats, I want like a fat cat. Not to take away from your segment, but one of the interesting things I came across was we always see articles celebrating this is the fattest cat or this is the fattest dog. Turns out the Guinness Book of World Records does not give an award for fattest or
that's
gorgeous
good. They don't want to encourage the behavior, or right? They don't want to encourage people artificially fattening their poor kitty just to get in the book.
That's why.
That's
got to be really demoralizing for the cat, you know, if they earned it the right way. You know, to then find out.
You're just chronic overfeeding and lack of stimulation.
I've seen a lot of times, you know, people talk about sort of like, you know, our five classic senses, right? Of sight, hearing, smell, touch, taste. Whew, that was a dicey there for a second.
We had to cut out a lot of mistakes, listener. That was highly edited.
Got it on the seventh try, guys. I'm pretty happy about that. I have some kind of just, isn't this cool facts for you guys about cats? But of course, we are a trivia quiz show. I'll try and couch this with some questions here at various points. Let's start off here with a couple questions related to cats' vision. All right, let me ask you a question here. True or false? And you guys can do thumbs up, thumbs down. True or false? Cats do not have color vision. True or false?
Oh, I have no idea.
Chris says false. Dana says true.
Because in The Witcher, when you take the cat eye potion, it's in black and white.
I like it. I like it. Oh, I like you. Whether you're wrong or right, I really like the reasoning.
Maybe they see some colors. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay. It is, in fact, false. Yeah, cats, they don't really see, strictly speaking, in shades of gray. But as you guys all kind of were getting at, there is some truth to, we believe, that they see muted colors for sure.
Have you guys seen, there's a product, I think it's called Enchroma, and it's colorblind correction glasses for people who are colorblind. It's a whole on YouTube of seeing reactions of people who are colorblind. And they put on these glasses, they see color for the first time. What happens if we get a hold of these glasses and put them on a dog, on a cat? Are they going to freak out? Would it work? Someone must have done this before.
Certainly the cats that I've known have freaked out when you try to put any kind of glasses on them.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm going to put this on a post-it note to remind myself.
This is like Karen's notes in the middle of the night, her little journal. Yeah. Colorblind glasses on dogs? ?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. True or false? Cats can see finer details than humans.
Finer details.
Yeah, if you're getting right up close to something, who can see in better detail? You or your kitty?
Not the kitty.
I'll say true, because I feel like maybe they have to evolutionarily, you know what I mean, to be able to do what they do. Maybe they just really need those fine details.
Okay.
I say true because I've seen cats play with very tiny things before, or like look for bugs and things like that. Like they care about little details.
It is in fact false. We as humans actually have better up close detail resolution of detail vision than cats do. This was one that really surprised me when I learned it, to learn that up close it's kind of a little fuzzy or blurry for them. And again, I was thinking like, well, they're hunting bugs and mice. The cat's kind of ideal perfect focus zone is actually about 6 or 10 feet out in front of them. So it's for kind of in that stalking zone, stalking prey. And then when they get closer to the prey and are in sort of for the, you know, final engagement, it really relies on their other senses.
So you're saying reading glasses for
cats. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Let me put it on the post-it.
They are not great on detail vision up close, as I said, but they are really, really well suited for detecting movement. They're also really good at judging distance. Now, you know, again, for an animal that pounces to catch prey, this makes sense. And also then, if you think about it, it makes sense why maybe their ideal focus is out a few feet, because that's kind of their pouncing zone. If a cat is stalking something and they kind of in a little quiet moment, they kind of do that little butt wiggle, you know, and they'll kind of do a little wiggle.
Yeah.
The belief really is that the butt wiggle is largely to trigger vision recalibration. They're kind of like jiggling their field of view a little bit to kind of trigger the motion detection, just get a sense of how far away it is so they can make that last little lunge.
Wow.
So I thought that was really, really, really cool to read. Yeah.
The old butt calibration. Yeah.
They don't, in fact, see in the dark. They cannot see when there is no light present. But they really, 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 really can see in much lower light than humans can. They can see up to about 5 or 6 times lower light than we can. One of the reasons they can do this is cats have what is called the tapetum. That's T-A-P-E-T-U-M. This is a layer of cells, pigmented cells, and it sits behind the cat's retina. It functions like a little eye mirror. And what it does is light comes in, passes the retina, they get one chance to process the light, bounces off the tapetum, hits the retina again, and they get to process the light again. So it's almost like they get 2 bites at the apple on their retina. This layer is what you're seeing effectively. Like if you take a photo of a cat on a dark night, or if you're driving down the road and the cat is in the headlights and then like the little glow reflector eyes, what you are seeing is the light coming back at you off of their tapetum. True or false? True or false? Cats can hear higher frequencies than dogs.
Higher frequencies.
I feel like my dogs freak out.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Dogs freak out over dog whistles, but cats don't freak out over dog whistles. Now, maybe they just like the really high frequencies.
I think that
based on like the size of the ear canal and the ratio of ear to head and you know, various other math that I'm doing, just some quick back of the envelope stuff here, I'm going to say dogs can hear higher frequencies than cats. Therefore, this is false.
All right.
The witcher says, well, so I'm thinking about this as a question. It's like, would he make dogs be better than cats in this quiz?
Yeah, I'm in your head. I'm in your head now.
You know, so now I'm going to say true because cats win in Colin's quiz.
Dana is correct on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My math.
I think you're right. I think it says a lot about cats that they kind of just maybe give you an annoyed glance when you use the dog whistle. But they're like, yeah, man, I can hear it too. They're like, trust me, I can hear it too. They chase little tiny rodents that make little tiny sounds. And they chase birds that make little tiny sounds. You may not know this. Not all people don't know this, but they can rotate their ears independently. Each ear can rotate independently through 180 degrees. So the cat can basically, with almost no movement of their head, can really map the entire sort of sphere around them. True or false? Cats cannot taste sweetness.
Ooh.
Okay.
I know.
Sure, why not? They can't taste sweetness. That's why they lick their butt all the time.
They can taste deliciousness.
Cats cannot taste sweetness. They suspected it for a long time. Many mammals have sweet receptors. In fact, really good sweet receptors, like we do, of course, as humans. Almost all the primates have really good sweet receptors because it's a really good signal of, in nature, things that are very valuable to us, you know, high caloric intake from sugar, you know, usually, but not always, you know, good vitamins, you know, berries and things like that tend to be generally very healthy for us. But you're right, Karen. Cats not only want meat, cats need meat. Cats really, they need it for regular bodily functions. Like they will break down if they don't have taurine in their diet. The cats have something called the vomeronasal organ, also called Jacobson's organ. And what this is a little tube, more or less, of cartilage inside the top of the cat's mouth, okay? What this organ can do is suck in chemical components, I don't even want to say the word smells, because it's sort of like between a smell and a flavor. They can capture this from the air. They hold it in this little tube that converts it into a taste. It just is the simplest way of thinking about this. So the cat can, certain things that that put off the right compounds, they can suck them into their mouth without touching the thing physically, taste it before they even take a bite with their tongue. And they know they know exactly what it's going to taste like. This is really, really closely related to like what snakes are doing. When snakes kind of flick out their tongue, you know, like we've all sort of heard as kids, you know, that's how they smell the world, is they flick their tongue out. And sort of a simplification, they're smell tasting. It's sort of, it's a sense that we don't really have as humans. Yeah, it's really neat.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it by choice, or do they just live through this day to day all the time?
Yeah, no, that's a great
question.
They're
walking down the street. What if there's like a pile of dog poo and it's like, well, I don't want to smell it, but like they have
smell
to
taste it.
Yes, they have to taste it.
That's a great, no, that's a great question. And in fact, there is a special process that they will trigger in the, when they want to do this. And this is again, really interesting. Really interesting. It is. It's by choice. Cats exhibit, horses do this too. You might see it. It's called the Flamen reaction. Okay. And what this is, if you, again, if you've ever lived with cats or been around cats, I promise you, you've seen them do this, is they'll come over to something that looks maybe interesting and maybe kind of to you, even a little, you know, a strong odor, and they'll pull their lips back a little bit and kind of stiffen their neck, and they kind of just freeze and they go, and it's a funny looking expression to us. It looks like maybe they're kind of grimacing, like, so when they want to do this type of smell tasting, they will exhibit the Flamen reaction. I have to give some credit here to the wonderful, wonderful book, How to Talk to Your Cat by Claire Besant. This is a book that has been in my library for a long time.
Dana, you got our next cat segment.
So what I have for you all today is a cat word quiz.
Okay.
So how it works is all of the words I've picked contain the letters C-A-T in that order with no words, no other letters between them.
Okay, just, okay, okay.
These words contain the word cat. And I'll give you two hints about this word to help like narrow it down. Turns out a lot of words have the letters C-A-T in them. But there should only be one word that fits both of these clues. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So get your barnyard buzzers ready and let's blast through some cat words. All right. First one. This is a word that describes improvisational jazz, but also an unrelated meaning of it is poop. I heard Chris first, I think.
Scat.
Yes, scat. How about this? So this is a page near the front of a book, and it also means self-sacrificing devotion.
Self-sacrificing devotion.
And a page near the front of a book.
Self-sacrificing devotion and a page near the front of a book. Oh my goodness.
Hmm.
Oh.
Okay, Chris.
Dedication.
Dedication.
Oh, okay. Good All right. one. Good, good, yes. good.
Dedication.
Dedication. All right. This is the I and pin, and it's a passport, for example. And Karen.
Identification.
Yes.
Pin number.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This means to lie. It also means to manufacture or invent something. Oh. Karen?
Fabrication.
Yes, fabrication, yes. How about this one? This is a 2015 sitcom starring Sharon Horgan and Rob Delaney, and it's also the name for a devastating event. So there's a 2015 sitcom with Rob Delaney. Colin, maybe?
It was a Colin. Catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. This is a song from Taylor Swift's Reputation album. It's also a setting on a clothes dryer. Karen.
Delicate.
Yes.
Delicate.
This is the main character in Eric Carle's classic children's book, and it's an area of study for lepidopterists.
Ooh.
This is the caterpillar. The hungry caterpillar, if you will.
Very hungry.
Okay, in music, it's indicated by a note with a dot above or below, and it's a note that's played sharply, detached, or separated from others. Colin.
That is staccato.
Staccato. This one. There's an idiom for it, and it's blank-brained, and it's also the fake grass and dioramas and model railways.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh.
Karen, I'll accept it. Yes.
Is it just scatter?
Scatter, yes.
Scatter.
Scatter. Yeah.
Interesting.
That fake grass that they spray on.
It's like powder.
It's like flocking or scatter.
Good term to know.
Okay, last one. It's the C and CRT television, and it's also part of a diode that allows power to flow out. I think I heard a horse first.
I think I jumped a little early, but I believe that is cathode.
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 Cathode. Cathode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why is pronouncing words incorrectly so funny?
It always is. It really is. I don't know. Something about it. Yeah.
Spinach.
Yeah. It just. Yeah. I feel dumb for this to this day, but when someone intentionally mispronounces jalapeno as jalapeno, it makes me laugh. it makes me laugh every time. Every time it makes me laugh. It's just because somebody in eighth grade Spanish class did it once, and it,
I think we like dad jokes. Like, we have a real bias towards that, and that's a real dad joke. Some low-hanging fruit.
It is.
Fruit.
Once you realize, once you start realizing, like, the dad jokes, the dad's actually in on them and the joke is on you for believing it, you know what I mean? Like, when we went to Paris in high school, the husbands of our language teachers also went on the trip. I think the husband of the Spanish teacher is in Paris, and he comes out of a store with a sandwich. He's like, yo, look at this, I got this sandwich called a baguette. They call it that because they put it in a bag for you. Now, we all thought he was just stupid, you know what I mean? Like, because we're high school kids and we're real jerks, so we all thought that we thought he really thought that. And then I realized it's actually a, you know, funny, it's a good joke. It was wasted on us.
It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing when you're on the wrong side of the dad joke. You think someone's being earnest, you try to help them, and they're like, I'm not stupid.
That's such a good joke.
It's a good joke. It's good. You have to think. I mean, he's also coming out of the thing. He's got the huge bread. It's in the big long bag with the ham and the cheese. You know.
I'm crying. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned stuff about super cat senses, fictional cats, and foods deceptively named after feline body parts. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on all podcast apps, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. This podcast is part of Airwave Media Podcast Network, so visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other shows like The Accidental Creative, I Know What Scares You, and Movie Therapy. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.